Today's shir is Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin Beis, and we will begin on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, five lines from the top. Says the Gemara, "Hu gavra damar lechavre." There was somebody said to someone else, "If I will sell this property, loch mizbaninilah, I will only sell it to you." And as the Rishayim explained the Gemara, it wasn't just that there was a full-fledged kinyan, because as we have been learning, without a full-fledged kinyan, there is no halachically is not considered any valid act. Furthermore, the kinyan must have been, explained the Rishonim, on the piece of property itself, because if the kinyan wasn't on the piece of property itself, it's not considered a valid kinyan. A kinyan must be on something tangible. Furthermore, the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, then in order for this kinyan to be valid, the word mi'achshav also has to be included in the kinyan. And why the word mi'achshav must be included in the kinyan actually is the subject of a machloikis achroinim. Some achroinim are of the opinion that the reason the word mi'achshav must be included is because without the word mi'achshav, it seems to lack the seriousness that a kinyan requires. Only when the word mi'achshav is included do we see that the proper seriousness is meant. Others explain, for as we have learned many times, in order for any kinyan or for any transaction to be considered halachically valid, we have to have a date to it. And therefore, even if here we would have all of the necessary requirements to affect the kinyan, if there is no date, the kinyan can't be effective. And here he just saying, here he made a kinyan, and we don't know when the kinyan will actually happen, because we don't know when the seller will indeed be interested in selling the property. And therefore, the only way that the kinyan can be valid is by adding mi'achshav as being considered the valid date. And therefore, based on this Gemara, the Paiskim say that if somebody agreed to sell a property, a home, whatever, to someone else, if he did not include all of the requirements that we have just explained in our Gemara, and then he goes and sells it to someone else, the original buyers have maybe a claim that so should not have been done, but halachically their claim cannot be supported in Beis Din. So again, says the Gemara, "Hu d'amar leih lechavrei, im zinalach l'ha'ar, if I sell this property, loch mazminalah, I will sell it to you." And then Azal Zabna Lenish Achrina, he went and sold it to someone else. Rabbi Yosef says, Rabbi Yosef Kana Kama, the first kinyan was a valid kinyan, and the second kinyan is not. Amalei Abaya asks Abaya, how can we give so much credence to the first kinyan? Volei Pasak, the price wasn't set. And as we have been learning, if a price has not been set, there is no kinyan. Because explains Abraya, if a price hasn't been set, there is no kinyan. The Tanan, because we learned in our Mishnah, if somebody sells his wine to an Akam. So the Mishnah taught us, Pasak Achlay Modad, if the price was set, and not only was the price set, but there was also a proper kinyan that the Akam took ownership of the wine prior to the wine becoming Yayin Nesach. So we don't have here an issue that the Jew is benefiting from Yayin Nesach. So the Mishnah taught us, therefore, Damar Matarim, the Jew may benefit from that money that he receives as proceeds for the sale. However, Madad Achlei Pasak, even if a valid kinyan was done, but there was no price set, Damar Vesurim, because without a price set, we don't have a kinyan. So it turns out that once the wine is in the property of the Akum, in the barrel of the Akum, and the wine becomes, as we've been learning so many times, Yayin Nesach, the halachi is that the Jew can't get proceeds from the sale of that wine because he will be benefiting from Yayin Nesach. So we see that without a set price, you can't have a kinyan. Ask the Gemara, my havala. So what is the halacha? Is setting a price essential for the validation of a kinyan or not? Ask the Gemara, what are you asking? My havalah, could it come in? Didn't we just successfully prove from our Mishnah that this is a valid, without a set price, it's not a valid kinyan? Answers the Gemara, we maybe can't bring a rye from our Mishnah, because Dilma Chumra de Yai Nesach Shani, our Mishnah is referring to Yai Nesach, and as we've been learning so many times, Yai Nesach is particularly halachically stringent, so it could be strictly when it comes to discussing Yai Nesach. That's where Chazal said that if you don't have a set price, the kinyan isn't a valid kinyan. Regarding all other areas of halacha, perhaps you could have a valid kinyan even without the setting of a price. Ask the achronim. The entire shiur that we learned yesterday was to prove what was a valid kinyan by an akum. Meshicha, kesef, both. And the Gemara, in its attempt to bring proof what is or isn't a valid kinyan, tried to use our Mishnah as a raya, what is or what isn't a valid kinyan. But now ask the achronim, if our Gemara is saying that you can't bring a raya from Yai Nesach because Yai Nesach is shani, so why did our Gemara attempt to bring a raya yesterday from Yai Nesach? Answer the achronim. There are two very different concepts that we're discussing. One is a concept of what is considered a valid kinyan. Meshicha, kesef. And the other discussion we're having is what is considered, the other discussion we're having is setting a price valid to make, setting a price essential to the validity of a kinyan. Explain the achronim. What is or isn't a kinyan is not, there is no difference between Yayin Nesach and other areas of halacha. If it is a kinyan, it is a kinyan. If it isn't a kinyan, it isn't a kinyan. However, when it comes to the discussion of setting a price, that doesn't speak to the Maisa kinyan, to the act of a kinyan. The Psikas Damim is more of an ancillary issue, and therefore, perhaps, what is considered valid for Hilchas Kinyonim, what be required by Yai Nesach, may not be required regarding all other areas of halacha. Toshma. So Gemara attempts to bring another raya. Damar Avidi Bar Avin, Uvda Havaber of Chizda, where there was a kinyan that took place before the price was set. And by Rav Chizda took the Shaila to Bei Rav Huna, to the Yeshiva Rav Huna, or Pashte, and they wanted to bring a raya to the validity of a kinyan, or the invalidity of a kinyan, from without the setting of a price, Mehadatanya, from what was learned in a braisa. It says in a braisa, Moshach Chamorov Opealov. If somebody is attempting to buy a load of material that's on donkeys or on workers, so even though the person who's buying these items is pulling the person who's carrying these items or is pulling the animal that's carrying these items, since he's attempting to do a kinyan on the items, so for there to be a valid meshicha, the meshicha has to be on the actual item I'm buying. And here there is no meshicha on the actual item I'm buying. Furthermore, even though it's being brought into my house, so as we discussed in the previous year, maybe there should be a kinyan chatzar. Here, however, since it's not being, it wasn't yet put down on my actual house, so we can't have here a kinyan chatzar. So again, continues the braisa. Moshe chamor of a pe'alav v'chnisan l'toch beisoy. Bein posak at shloi modet, whether a price has been set. Bein modet at shloi posak, or whether he measured the amount of produce here, but the price hasn't been set. Like kana, we don't have a valid kinyan. Vishnei michoyam lachsaben, and since, as we know, in the absence of a valid kinyan, both parties can retract from the deal. However, pirkon, if they unloaded the items from the people who are carrying them, or from the animal, v'chnisin l'tach beis, and then he brought him into the house. So here the halach is as follows: pasuk at shloim modad, if the price has been set, So ein shnayim yachayim lachzaba, even though the actual amount hasn't yet been measured, since there has been a price set by both parties. So here we have a real kinyan chotzer, since it was a chnisan l'toif beisai, and therefore we have a valid kinyan, and no one can back out. Modad shlei pasak, even if they measured the amount of item that is here, however, since there was no agreement to the price, shneim yichayim lachzabon, they both can back off. So here we see that without a setting of a price, as valid of a kinyan that we have, is not considered a valid kinyan. Says the Gemara, similar to what we spoke about at the beginning of the shir, Hahu damale lechavri. If somebody said to somebody else, imazanim lo lahara, if I will sell this property, mazanim lecha, I will sell it to you b'meizuzi. So here, not only did they go through all the proper technicalities, but they even, as we just discussed, set a price. However, another customer came along and offered $120, and he sold it to the second customer. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Kanakama. There was a valid kinyan made with the first buyer, and therefore the second sale is invalid. Maskel of Yaakov Naharb Koid, Hai Zuzi and Tsua, how can we say that this is considered a valid sale? This wasn't sold because he wanted to sell it. And again, to review, what we've been learning in our shir is that if the first sale is a sale, what did he say? He said that if I sell this, I should sell it specifically to you. Here, it wasn't that the seller decided to sell it. Then, indeed, he would have to sell it to the first person. Rather, what happened over here was that the second buyer came and made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. And therefore, that's why he sold it. And that's not considered that what was done here was what was agreed upon, that if he sells it, he sells it to the first person. And Taka therefore says the Gemara, Hilchos Rav Yaakov Menar Pekoid, the halachos like Rav Yaakov Menar Pekoid, and the first sale is not a valid sale. But here we have a very big machlokes Rishonim. What will be if the first buyer comes along and says, I'm willing to match the offer of the second buyer? Some Rishonim are of the opinion that if he's willing to match, and particularly if the kinyan with a second buyer has not yet been consummated, then the first buyer has the first rights. That's how some Rishonim paskin. But it is the opinion of most Rishonim that even if the first buyer is willing to match the price, and not only is he willing to match the price, but he's willing to match the price before the kinyan of the first buyer was consummated, the halacha still is that the second buyer could take it. Because the concept explained those Rishonim, the Rosh, is the concept of Zuzi and Tsua teaches us that the whole first kinyan is not to be taken into consideration, and it's a new scenario altogether, and therefore the halacha is that he, even if he's willing to match the price, he doesn't get the first rights. The Gemara now goes on to discuss what happens if two parties agree to a sale, but they agree that they will bring an outside appraiser to decide the value of the property. And as the Ritva points out, even though we've been learning in our shir that without the setting of a price, we don't have a kinyan, says the Ritva, that's only when we have a mechira, where you and I agree to sell and buy a product, and we didn't identify a price. So there can't be gemira stas. But, says the Ritva, if both of us agreed that an outside party will appraise the value, so now we have the requisite gemira stas. Because as we keep on explaining, the reason why we don't have a kinyan and the price is not set is because it's lacking in gemira stas. But if we agree that an outside party will appraise it and will follow that appraisal, so we do have the required gemira stas, and therefore, even without the setting of a price, we could have a kinyan. So therefore, Amalei, if they said, Kedishayim betlosa, as it will be appraised by three people, afil trei migot tlosa. Even if two of the three appraisers agree to a value and the third one doesn't, it's going to be considered a valid appraisal. Because as explained the Rishonim, what they meant here was we're going to follow the procedures in Beis Din. And the procedure in Beis Din isn't that all three members of Beis Din necessarily agree. We know that a Beis Din follows the Rav. So as long as two of the three appraisers agree to a price, it's going to be considered a valid appraisal. However, point out the Rishonim, it will only be considered a valid appraisal if we follow all of the procedures of Beis Din. And what are the procedures of Beis Din? That yes, it's enough that if two of the three members agree, we follow their opinion, but it has to be that all three members consulted and conferred together, and then we follow the majority, two of three. Here too, that the Gemara is saying that as long as two agree, it's going to be considered a valid appraisal. It's only in a circumstance when those three all sat together and now two agreed to a certain price. That's enough that should be considered a valid appraisal. But if the wording wasn't that way, the wording was k'na'amri, and as most Rishonim point out, since he used the word k'na'amri, as they said, so he means something else, and therefore the halacha is, others say it's the difference is not in the k'da'amri, the difference is if he said beit losa or bit losa. But Pashup Shah, most Rishonim say is since he used the word k'da'amri, here you have to have ad'amri bit losa, that you have to have all three members agree that it should be considered a valid appraisal. If they said k'da'shaymi ba'arba as four appraise, here you'll have to have Adamri Arba, all four will have to agree, explained the Rishonim. Because if he were interested in following the procedures of Beis Din, then why does he need three? Why did he choose that there should be four people? It should be enough that he chose three people. The fact that he chose that he wants three people is clearly an indication that he is clearly an indication that he the fact that he chose four people is clear that he's not looking to follow the regular Beis Din procedures, and therefore again here all members will have to concur. And so as the Gemara, the Koshkeh Hecha the Amalek Kada Amri Barba, certainly in a situation where he said both the word Kada Amri and he said Ba'arba, so we have two reasons pointing that he meant all four, the fact that he said four, and the fact that he said K'amri, and here you have to have consensus amongst all four people. Amalei, K'dishayimi B'tlosa, if he said, as three people praise it, V'asa T'los V'shemua, and three people indeed came and appraised it. V'ama Le'idach, and the second one says, Le'isa T'losa Anachrin, I want to get three other people who are bigger experts. Amra Papa says, Papa Din the Makav, he has every right to say so. Maskalar of Hunabred Rav Shua, my Dahani Kimletfei, who says that the second group that I'll find are greater experts than the first group? Dil Mahani Kimletfei, maybe the first group is greater. However, says the Gemara, and indeed Hilchaskar of Hunabred Rav Shua. So Ritva frames the entire Gemara. And Ritva says as follows. Certainly, if both parties agree to one appraiser, to one group to be the appraisers, the halach is that we follow that group. And the other group have no right to, then he has no right afterwards, if he doesn't like what they said, to say, no, that's not what I wanted. On the other hand, certainly if he said that I don't agree to this group, he was meicha, he says he doesn't agree to that group, the halacha would be that the second group is, that the first group is not counted. The case, says the Ritva, that we're discussing here is that he chose the first group, and after somebody chose one group and the second party heard and wasn't meicha, didn't protest, and then after that group that was chosen without protest by the second group came along with an appraisal, now he comes and says, no, I'm not agreeable to that group. And here we have the machlokes. But furthermore, say the Rishonim, if it's clear that the second group that this person now is choosing to do the appraisal is by far greater experts than the first group, say again, the Rishonim, that he would have every right to say, I want to use the first group. Given that the first group is the group he was never officially accepted, and given that the second group are clearly greater experts than the first group, he has a right to demand the second group. The shaila here is, the machloikas here is, when we don't know for sure that he can't definitively say that the second group are greater experts than the first group. And that's where we have the machloikas of Rav Papa and Rav Huna Rishua. Rav Papa says that since we don't know that the second group is any greater than the first group, coupled with the fact that he never really protested officially against the first group, if we combine those two factors, we follow the opinion of the first group. And Rav Huna Breid Rishua disagrees. And Rav Huna Breid Rishua says, since he never officially accepted the first group, and the second group may be better, we have no right to tell him that he has to accept the psak of the first group. Says the Mishnah, not al samishpach. If somebody took a funnel, a Jew took a funnel, umadad l'toich tzluchoso shel akum, and he poured wine into the flask of the akum. And so now, posh pshat, there's some droplets of wine left over in that funnel, and therefore, if chazer umadad l'toich tzluchoso yisrael, im yesh bayakevas yain, if there's a lip to this funnel with some drops of wine might have accumulated, the halacha is asur. There are interesting to note that there are rishonim that have the opinion that even if we see that there are no drops of wine left in that lip, the halacha won't change. Until that funnel is completely rinsed out, the halacha is that if you use the same funnel again, the wine will be asur. Continues the Mishnah, Hamar Mikal Kliya Kli, if somebody's pouring wine from one vessel into another vessel, and as the maskon of the Gemara will be, we're referring here to an Akum who's pouring wine from a Jew's barrel of wine into his flask, as Shir Mimena Mutter, the wine that's left in the original barrel is Mutter, however, Shir Latoicha, anything else is Asr, and as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the reason being, because this is a case of Kaichai, and therefore only the wine that left the original barrel is Asr, not the wine in the original barrel, and we'll explain it more in the Gemara. Tanan Hossam. The Mishnah teaches us in Masechta Taharis, Hanitzik. And we have a Nitzik, we've learned about Nitzik many times. A Nitzik is when we have a stream connecting two different bodies of water, for Katafris, or we have a slope, or Mashkatafeach, or we have liquid that's so moist that if something else were to touch that moist liquid, it would become moist. And a Chibur Loy L'Tumah, the halacha is that if this, you have two bodies of water, one is Tamei and one is Tamar, and they're connected by a Nitzik or Katafris, the Nitzik or Katafris will not connect these two bodies, V'loy L'Tahara. It won't connect these two bodies to make it into a kosher mikveh. And here we have a Machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean that it doesn't connect L'Tahara? Everybody agrees that if we have the following situation, We know for a mikveh to be a kosher mikveh, it has to have a bom saw, 40 saw. So let's say we have two bodies of mikveh, two mikveh bodies, neither having in them a bom saw, but if you combine them, you will have a bom saw, and they're connected by this body of water. So the Mishnah clearly is paskening that the Nitzik or Katafris cannot combine two bodies that don't have in them the requisite shear, then now we should say that they have the required shear. However, what would be the halacha if you have, again, two mikvahs, but one mikvah has the right amount be a bom saw, and the other doesn't have a bom saw, and they connected with the Nitzik or the Katafras. Some Rishonim, I think it's the opinion of Rashi, say that that's still the Mishnah saying that a Nitzik and a Katafras cannot combine, and even under those circumstances, the Nitzik and the Katafras would not be able to combine two bodies. Tosfos, other Rishonim disagree, and they say, since in this case we have two bodies, and one body does already have the required amount of water, then even though the only thing that's connecting the other body is a Nitzik and Katafras, that will be good enough. Hashbayrin, but if we have liquid, we have settled liquid in the ground between two bodies of water, that Hashbayrin could be a Chibbel L'Toma L'Tahara. Chibbel L'Tahara is very understandable, the case that we just explained, that the two bodies will be connected by this Hashbayrin. But Chibbel L'Toma, Posh Pshat, means that if the water in this Hashbayrin is Tameh, then it will cause that the water in the two other bodies that are connected to this Eshbayrin will also be Tamei. The problem with that pshat, point out the Mefarshim, is that this water is Mechubar. And we know that the halacha is that water that's Mechubar cannot be, the water that's Mechubar is not become Tamei. So how does the water here become Mechaber them to be Tamei if water is not considered a water that's mechubal karka never becomes tameh? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that when do we say that water that's mechubal karka is not doesn't have that ability? Is only by water that is there naturally. By water that's not there naturally, water that somebody brought, that will have a different rule. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the water here is not directly in the Hashbayrin, directly in the ground, but rather it's referring to a situation that the water is like in a keli, in a vessel that's in the ground. When we say that water that's mechubal karka is not mekabel tuma, that's only water that's in the ground itself, not in a keli in the ground. Amar Rav Huna, Nitzik v'katafris u'mashka toifeich chibalai in yayin nesach. As far as Hilchos Yayin Nesach is concerned, they are considered a way of connecting two different bodies of wine. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna Menolacha, where do you take that halacha from? Ilei Minatanan, if you're going to say from what we learned in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah just said Nitzik v'katafris u'mashka toifeich en chibalai l'tum v'loy tahara. And your diik is l'tum l'taharu who do I have a chibur? As far as tum and tahar, it's not considered a valid chibur. Holy in yai nesach have a chibur. As far as hilchos yai nesach, it is considered a valid chibur. Ema sefer. Let's continue learning that very mishnah. The mishnah said, as we just learned, hashbayrin is a chibur l'tum l'tahara. The diik being l'tum l'taharu who do I have a chibur? Holy in yai nesach loy have a chibur. So we have contradictory diukim. The dig in the Reisha is that it is a chibur. The dig in the Sefer is that it's not a chibur. El mahal lekel mishmina. And as we quoted what the Rishonim say under such circumstances previously, the way to understand this is as follows. One of the diukim is correct, and one of the diukim is incorrect. But since we don't know which is the correct dig and which is the incorrect dig, we have no way of using this Mishnah to tell us what the halacha is. So Gemara attempts to prove what will be the halacha of Nitzik from our Mishnah. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, not tal es hamishbech. If somebody takes a funnel, or mother l'toch tzluchos shalavik chavim, and he pours wine into the Akum's flask, chazer mother l'toch tzluchos shisrael, and then he used that very same funnel to pour wine into the flask of Yisrael. So the Mishnah paskin, im yesh bayakeves yayin, if there's a lip and this funnel, usur, then the wine that's then poured afterwards is usur. The question is, why is the wine in the funnel usur? It must be because the wine in the funnel was connecting between the wine on the bottom in the flask of the akum, which is considered yayin nesach, to the wine of the Jew, and therefore that nitzik connected them. Ask the Rishonim. If that's pshat in our Mishnah, then the halacha should be that not only is the wine in the flask usur, but even the wine in the original barrel, if we're learning that a nitzik is mechabedem, says the Meiri, that the wine in the funnel would be considered the nitzik. The wine that's in the barrel, halakhically, would be considered something called bas nitzik, since it's so distanced from the wine in the barrel of the akum, in the flask of the akum, because we have first the funnel, and then we have the barrel. Says the Meiri, even if we're holding the nitzik is a chibur, to say a nitzik and a bar nitzik is a chibur, so far we don't say. But again, the Gemara now is assuming that the reason that the wine in the barrel is the wine in the funnel is also is because of nitzik. So isn't our Mishnah Raya that nitzik is a chibur? Answers the Gemara, no. Tanav Chia, our Mishnah is referring to a situation shepascha slichusai, that the wine in the flask backed up, and since the wine in the flask backed up, that's why it's the wine in the funnel becomes asr. Avaloi pascha slichusai, but if it wouldn't back up, mai why would be halacha loy? Then the wine in the funnel would not become asr. So says the Gemara, isn't this a raya tifshet the nitzik and the chibur? Because it's only reason that the wine in the funnel is becoming asr now, we're saying, is strictly because it backed up. Says the Gemara, loy. What we're trying to paskin here is pascha tzlchusa tifshelach asr. All our Mishnah is a proof is that the wine that backed up from the flask into the funnel is asr. Nitzik, what the halacha of nitzik is still a kasha. Ask the Rishonim, the wine that's in the funnel, certainly if it was wine that was backed up from the barrel, wine on the bottom, it backed into it, certainly will be asr. For that, I don't need a chiddush, that's a davar pashut. That can't be what the Mishnah is teaching us. Answers the Masha. The Masha says a beautiful teretz. He says, of course we're not talking about a case where there's actual wine that backed up from the flask into the into the funnel left there. Of course, that wine is full-fledged Jaya Nesach. Rather, says the Masha, it's referring to a case that first it backed up into the funnel, and then it receded back into the flask. And the Chiddush of the Gemara is that even though it receded back into the flask, still, since it was at one point backed up into there, the halacha is that will be enough to consider the wine, any residual wine, or perhaps even as we said in the Mishnah, if there is no residual wine, anything in that funnel being asr. Tashma, so the Gemara wants to bring a raya from the next case of our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamarim kli kli, if somebody's pouring wine from one keli to another keli, eshamarim imen mutter, from the keli from which the wine left remains os mutter. But what is the deek in the Mishnah? Hada beni beni, all the wine in between the keli from which the wine is poured out and the keli that the wine is being poured into, the wine being in that bottom keli being yayin nesach, is asr. Why is all the wine in between asr? Again, isn't this a raya shmamina nitzik is a chibur? Says the Gemara, if that's the way we're learning, that we're following the opinion that nitzik is chibur, then I feel the gavein demana namilitzer. Then even the wine in the original barrel is connected through the nitzik from the first wine to the second wine, and it should be asr. Says the Gemara, that isn't a kasha. Halai kasha, because there is a way of avoiding the problem of nitzik. And the way to avoid the problem of nitzik is to do mekatfei ketufei. Don't pour the wine with a stream from the upper kelim to the lower keli. To do it in a way that you spill it in small spurts. And since you spill it in short spurts, that prevents there being a stream connecting the two bodies of wine. And the Chiddush of the Mishnah will be explained to Rishonim that Mekatfi Ketufei is permissible, and we don't make Gzeira Mekatfi Ketufei because you may not do it properly. But says the Gemara, we seem to now have a raya, the nitzik is a chibur. Because the fact that we have to go through the bother of doing mikatfei ketufei is clearly an indication that if you didn't do mikatfei ketufei, you would have an issue. Lutameich, asked the Gemara, let's continue learning. If so, Eima Sefer, the Mishnah said, Eshi'ir l'toichai hudasr. The deek of the Mishnah is that dafka, the wine that goes into the barrel, into the bottom barrel, is osur. But what does the deek teach us? Hadabeni beni, any wine that's not in the bottom barrel will be mutter. So we have, again, like we discussed earlier in the Shir, a contradictory deek. The deek in the Reisha seems to teach us that Nitzik is a chibber. The deek in the Sefer seems to teach us that Nitzik is not a chibber. Again, says the Gemara, Alam Halakha Mishmina, when we have contradictory diukim, one deek is correct, but we just don't know which deek is the correct deek and which deek is the incorrect deek, and therefore we have to be machmer. Toshma. It says in a Braisa, Hamara Michovis Labor, if somebody's pouring from a barrel into the bar, so the teaches us the Braisa, Kiluach HaYorid Misfas Chovis Lamata, anything that comes out from the barrel downward is Asr. So isn't this a Raya? Why is it Asr? Because it's considered a Nitzik to the wine in the bottom barrel. And we have a Raya here, the Nitzik is a Chibber. And it says the Gemara, here it's a whole different reason. Tergmer of Sheshes B'Oiv K'chava Ma'ara. It's referring that it's an Akum that's pouring the wine. So here the issue is not an issue of Nitzik. Rather, here the issue is an issue that we briefly mentioned when we learned the Mishnah. It's called Kaichai. And Kaichai is the reason why it's Asr. Ask the Gemara, E Oivik Chava Ma'ara, if we're referring here to a situation where the guy is pouring the wine from the upper barrel into the lower barrel, and that's why the wine, as it leaves the Jew's barrel, becomes Asr because of Kaichai, so then the halacha ought to be, asked the Gemara, I feel gavad chavita nami mitzer. Even what's in the upper barrel, in the Jew's barrel, should be osur, because it was affected by the koichai of the akum. Answers the Gemara. Koichai da david kachamad rabbanan de osur. The entire issa of koichai is only issa de rabbanan. And where did the rabbanan make the issur? Where did the rabbanan say that wine becomes osur? Only hahu de nafik levroi. Only such wine that left the barrel itself. That's what Chazal said, Gozbe Rabbanan. However, the wine, the Hudl Gavoy, the wine that's in the original Jew's barrel, like Gozbe Rabbanan, on that wine, Chazal didn't make Gzeir. And as I saw the Rishonim explain this rule, the Rishonim explain that even though, as we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, in this Masechta, there is a concept of Stam Yenom, and that any wine Akum touches becomes Asr, but explain the Rishonim that when did Chazal make that rule? Chazal made that rule specifically in a circumstance which is similar to the way Nisach is done. And as we've learned, Baruch Hashem, many times, how is Nisach typically done? The way Nisach is typically done is that the Goy puts his hand into the wine. That's how Nisach is done. We learned so many times the word shichshuch. And therefore, since only when you have a situation of shichshuch do we say that the Gzeres Chazal is that the wine becomes Asur. Here we didn't really have shichshuch. Here we didn't have the Akum touching the wine. We only have a circumstance of Koichai. Since this is not really the way Nisach is done, Chazal and making the Gzeir were more limited, and they only said that the wine that leaves the barrel is Asr, the wine that remains in the original barrel is Mutter. Amalei Rav Chisda l'Hanes of Yaisa. So Rav Chisda said to those people who sold wine, Ki telisu charm alev kachavim, when you measure wine for Akum, katvik tufi, be very careful to sell the wine in short spurts, or namin nefutsi. The way you should pour the wine is have the wine travel in the air, pour it from very far away. So you certainly shouldn't have a situation of Nitzik, because Nitzik is Chibur. And here we have many explanations how to understand Rav Chisda. One explanation, and this is the way we're Machmer, is that Rav Chisda indeed held Nitzik Chibur, And therefore he gave them this advice to avoid the problem of Nitzik Chibur. Others explain, other Rishonim explain, that Rav Chisda wasn't quite certain, is the halacha Nitzik Chibur or Nitzik not Chibur? And because he had this question, he told them to pour the wine in a way that it certainly wouldn't be Nitzik and it wouldn't be Asr. Other Rishonim, however, explain that Rav Chisda might have agreed that Nitzik is not considered a Chibur. But here we have perhaps an issue of Kaichai. And Kaichai, we all understand, we explained that that's shot in the second case of the Mishnah, is Asr, as we just finished learning the Gemara. And this was the way Rav Chisda wanted to avoid the problem of Kaichai, but Nitzik may not be an issue. But as I've said, that we are of the opinion that we are Machmed and Nitzik is Chibur. If it's a situation which is typically Bizman Azeh, not of Yayin Nesach, of Stam Yenom, the Ari Shoinim that Bishas Atchak a Mekel, a Nitzik, by Stam Yenom. Amle Rav Hana, Rav Lahana Shevchoi. Rav said to those people who would pour wine, they were Jewish, Kishchusu Chamra, when you pour wine, Loi Likrev Oivkacham L'Sai B'daychu, don't allow an Akam to help you. Dilma Mishadilisu, for perhaps you may get tired, Vishadisa Lailai, and you're going to let them pour by themselves, and now we'll have a situation of Asim B'Koychoi for Asim. And here too the Rishonim discuss that certainly if it's a situation where the Yisrael could pour the wine by himself and the Akam is helping him, the wine won't become Asr. Or if it's a situation, explained the Rishonim, where neither of them could do it by themselves, they need each other to make it happen, it also wouldn't become Asr. The question, however, the Issa would be, however, where the Jew cannot do it by himself, and the Akum can. Ze ain't a yochel. The Yisrael ze ain't a yochel, and the Akum is a yochel. That would make the wine usher. Interesting shaila in the paiskim is if the Yisrael is a yochel, the Yisrael could pour the wine, but it's a heavy barrel, and therefore because he has the assistance of the Akum, it makes it much easier. Is that considered a ze yochel, the ze ein yochel, or since he could ultimately do it by himself, it should be mutter? Says the Gemara, who gave the asa chamra begishto baskishto? This is sort of a contraption where we have two tubes. One tube, and the one tube is put into the barrel of wine, and then another tube is connected to it like an upside down V into the flask from which wine is being sold. And what happened here was that if you start sucking the wine, the wine will go from the original barrel into the other barrel, a vacuum will be formed. And a guy came, and he put his hand on the tube that was going into this flask. And the question now, and that stopped the vacuum, to stop the wine from flowing. Asa Rav Kula Chamra. Rav said that the wine in the original barrel is Asa. Omalei Rav Papa L'Rava. Vomalei Rav Adabah Masna L'Rava. Vomalei Ravina L'Rava. B'mai. Why in the original barrel is the wine Asa? B'nitzik. Because what happened here was, it seems that all this wine is connected through the wine in the tube, which is a situation of Nitzik. And shouldn't this be a Raya? Shamina, the Nitzik is a Chibur. Says the Gemara Shani Hossam, the Kulechamra Gishto Bas Gishto Garer. There it's a situation, since the wine is flowing by itself through the tubes, so it looks like the wine in the tube is actually of an extension of the barrel itself, and it's as if the Akum touched the wine in the barrel, and that's why that wine is certainly Asr. Now the Gemara speaks about another situation. Omra Zutabreder of Nachman, Kanishkishkin Shari. Kanishkishin is a vessel which has two or three tubes protruding outside of it on the sides, and people used to drink wine all at the same time. Says the Gemara, a Jew and an Akum could be drinking from the Kanishkishin at the same time. However, Vahani Mili the Kadam Pasuk Yisrael. It's only if the Jew stops drinking first. Because if the Jew stops drinking first, then none of the wine that's in the Akum's mouth will return to the Keli. Avil covered kadam pasuk avik chavim. If the Akum stops drinking first, so there's wine left in the tube that goes back into the keli, loy, then the wine becomes asr. Rav Barafuna Iklabe Rash Galusa, Sharul Mishnah Bekashkishin. He allowed them to drink wine together with the Kashkishin. To drink wine with an Akam and a Kashkishin. Ikadam Rav Barafuna Gufa Ishtashibi Kashkishin, that he himself drank wine with an Akam and a Kashkishin. That's the way many Rishonim learned the Gemara. There are other Rishonim that explain the Gemara differently. They say that he would have never have drank wine together with an Akam and a Kashkishin. Rather, here it's referring that he drank together with another, with a Yisrael wine and a Kashkishin. And there's a discussion in the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, if Zeich L'Churban, the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, Daf Samach Beis, if Zeich L'Churban Chazal said we shouldn't drink wine and a Kashkishin because it shows too much enjoyment. And what he was saying was that there is no issue of Zeich L'Churban in drinking wine and a Kashkishin. But certainly, drinking with an Akam he would have never done, because it's certainly at least a situation of Nitzik, and as we've discussed earlier, L'Churma we hold Nitzik Chibur.